This episode is brought to you by Roster Up Media, your home for tangible insights on the NFL and fantasy football. For the hottest takes and deep dives on your favorite NFL teams, as well as daily and season-long fantasy football hacks, head to rosterupmedia.com. If you love football, you'll love Roster Up.
What a draft. Wow. If you're still on cloud nine after the Jets 2022 NFL draft, you are not alone, my friends. If you went to bed that night and woke up the next morning praying it wasn't just a dream, it wasn't. And no, those feelings aren't misguided. The Jets really did have that good of a draft. We're talking elite blue chip prospects who will be immediate starters at positions of need. The Jets no longer lack a premium starter at any position. True number one corner, locked up. True number one wide receiver, done. Best running back in the draft, got him. Edge talent this franchise hasn't seen since John Abraham, book it. Joe Douglas, we applaud you, sir. You have shown us what competent drafting looks like. Casual fans of other teams will still say the Jets have so many holes. Not anymore, they don't. The Jets have done something these past two offseasons that prior front offices for this franchise failed to do for decades. They added a plethora of talent, especially around their young quarterback, without breaking the bank. This approach will prove to have a ripple effect for the next decade and beyond. Building the right way. It took patience, but it's finally paying off. Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, Jeremy Ruckert, Max Mitchell, Michael Clemens. The draft class that fans only dreamed about in our unrealistic but hopeful mocks all offseason, it's a reality. The best corner, the best wide receiver, and the best running back in the draft will all wear green and white this fall. And Carl Lawson, back with a vengeance, will have an elite running mate opposite him on the edge. Get pumped, people. A winning season is now within reach. The pieces are in place. Now it's all up to one man, and that man is Zach Wilson. Without further ado, let's grade these picks. All right, everybody, welcome to the post-draft podcast. This is the Jet Up podcast, part of the Roster Up Media Network. I'm your host, James McWilliams, joined by my co-host, Ryan McWilliams, and returning guest, Tom Deanna. Say what's up, my friends.
How's it going, everybody? Excited to talk some Jets football.
How we doing? Let's go Jets.
Ryan sounds like he's calling in from the street, because he is. He's on his mobile device here. So hopefully y'all can hear him well, but we're going to break down the 2022 NFL draft for you guys, primarily about the Jets here. We're going to lead off with a little bit of our predictions leading up, but it was an incredible night, a couple of nights for us. As you heard in the intro, we had a very good outcome. So we're excited to talk about it. A lot of hype. Feels a little bit different. Feels a little bit different this year.
It's still a little bit different.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna have a good show here. But first, I just want to jump in and talk about some of our expectations. So like leading up to the draft, you know, there was a lot of confusion about what the Jets were gonna do. I think everyone was kind of thinking defense would be primarily the focus, but we knew we had a hole at wide receiver. There was talk about Debo trades. There was talk about, you know, who's the top receiver in this draft. It was a lot of confusion. So I think at pick number four, you know, I was really not sure what we were going to do. I thought maybe edge, maybe corner, maybe trade back. But the first three picks going Trayvon Walker, which I thought was a surprise. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of just smoke. But then having Aiden Hutchinson go at two to the Lions was something I expected if he was there. But Derek Stingley going third, I was very happy he went third, because I did not want to be tempted to take him. Then there was also talk of Iguanu going to the Jets, and the talk about Becton and the trades and all those things. That did not happen, obviously. But leading up, guys, I'll start with you, Tom, since you're our returning guest here. What were you expecting going into that night? What did you think was going to happen at 4?
Well, me and your brother Ryan had the privilege of going to the draft party. It was a great time. And when they announced the pick, I was pretty sure that they were going to end up taking Icky, actually. I was expecting them to take Icky, and I was kind of convincing myself that it would be okay if we took Icky. I didn't really want that deep down, but I think he's a pretty good prospect, and I was expecting Roger Goodell to go up there and announce that we took another tackle in the top 10 of the draft. So that's kind of what I was thinking. And then the Sauce pick, I was pleasantly surprised. I did not think they were going to go Sauce. So honestly, credit to Joe Douglas and the team for kind of not listening to the outside noise, because I know a lot of Jets beat reporters, namely Connor Hughes, was like, oh, they're not taking Sauce Gardner. They're not doing this, blah, blah, blah. And then they took him, and I think he is everything that you want in a number one corner. He's long. He is literally, if you pulled a cornerback out of a box, you would want it to look like Sauce Gardner. I think he's a great prospect, and I ended up being pleasantly surprised with the pick.
Ryan, what were you expecting going into that pick?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same as Tom. I thought we were going tackle or edge. In all honesty, I did want Kayvon. I was hoping for him. But I was really pumped about the Sauce pick. I wasn't expecting it at all. But he was one of my favorite players in this draft. So I was pretty pumped to see him come to our squad, especially with the way the rest of our draft worked out. I think it makes the pick even better, the fact that we added an edge rusher later in the first. So I was pretty pumped to get Sauce. Also was my favorite receiver for months now. In the first round, it was awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, in the moment, and I said this on Twitter Spaces, we did a Twitter Spaces with the rest of the other roster up team shows on day two, right before day two of the draft. And I said, you know, when the pick was made for Sauce, I really liked Sauce, and I felt like it was a pick I was fine with. But at the moment, I was like, man, I just wish we had went edge. So at that moment in time, I was like, oh, Kayvon, I really wanted Kayvon. I knew if we didn't take him, he was going to go to the Giants. So I was kind of like bittersweet, happy. You know, I was kind of like, I like Sauce a lot, but really wanted Kayvon. Felt like we needed the edge maybe a little bit more than we needed the corner. But obviously, in light of the whole first round, I'm really happy the way it went, where we ended up getting both the edge and the corner. So I think leading up, again, I thought we were going to go edge. But thrilled we got Sauce. I think it's weird. It's weird to have like a true lockdown CB1. I feel like we've been waiting a long time to feel like we could say that. Everyone's kind of every year, oh, you know, these young guys are good. Bryce Hall, Echols. And like, we're like, yeah, maybe they'll like live above their pedigree and like play above what everyone thinks they're going to do. And you know, that a lot of that is fan speak. It's like wanting these guys to be better than maybe they are or believing they are. Not that those guys are not good and can start in this league, but you know, getting a guy who's like a consensus lockdown corner, you know, we'll talk about Sauce here in a minute, but you know, I think expectations wise, I don't know if I was expecting Sauce. So by the end of the night, though, I was very happy we got him. So any other expectations as we went through the first round? You know, we got to 10, obviously we took Wilson, and we'll talk about him too, but what were you guys thinking as we went through that first round?
Just to get a quick thought out here, I agree with you completely, because I did give Connor Hughes a little bit of flack there, saying that they weren't going to pick Sauce Gardner at 6 or at 4, excuse me. Because I did agree with the philosophy that we're not going to beat these teams by covering Tyreek Hill. Like, it's a lot to ask for Sauce Gardner to just go in and cover Tyreek Hill and lock him down one-on-one. The way you're going to beat these teams is sacking the quarterback before they could throw it to Tyreek Hill. So when they did pick Sauce, I was like, all right, I really like Sauce, but they need to take an edge. And then when they took Garrett Wilson, I was like, all right, I don't know what they're doing at edge. I do like Garrett Wilson. I kind of like Jameson Williams a little bit better. So I was like kind of like a little bit confused. I do like Garrett Wilson. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be a really good player. But mainly at edge, I was like, all right, they have to either trade up into the first round. And as Jermaine Johnson fell down the board, I know me and Ryan were on the way home from MetLife. We left after the 10th pick. And we were like, they might trade back into the first round. Like we were talking about, like they might trade back to the first round if Jermaine Johnson keeps falling. And sure enough, they did. So now it's like, it went to me as like a B first round to an A plus immediately when they traded back up into the first round. So I ended up thrilled.
Yeah, 100%. I was telling random people in the stadium that we weren't done yet. I had a feeling that Douglas was going to come back into the first because there was rumblings of that all week. And then eventually we found out that he was trying to trade up twice. So I just had a feeling all night that he was going to try to move up as much as he could. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, I went into the night going, we have three major needs and two first round picks. Yeah. So it was like, we need an edge, we need a corner, and we need a wide receiver. And we ended up obviously getting all three, which was, just the cherry on top when we traded back in. And a lot of people after the draft were kind of like, not a lot of Jets fans, but just a lot of people were like, oh, like, you know, don't give up your assets. You have too many things to fill. And it's like, well, that's why you stockpile those assets. So right. You can go get a better player. You know, it's like, why give up these fifth and sixth round picks? Because it's better to get the guy, you know, who's further up the board. So, you know, I think sometimes people forget that, you know, you use your assets to go get better players. You know, teams trade for proven players. So why not use those picks to go up and get, you know, somebody who could be a much higher ceiling player like a Jermaine Johnson. And then obviously the Breece Hall thing, we traded up two picks. We'll talk about him. Two slots, and then gave up a fifth, and people were like, oh, you can't give up more picks. Yeah. I'm like, you can. We went up two spots, not 30, and we gave up almost nothing. So they're just really stupid takes, in my opinion. I think you have to go get the guys that you think are going to make a difference on your team, and do what it takes to do that. So that's why you build up all these picks, and you know, you can't have, you know, 50 rookies on your team. Like you have to have, and second year guys, you got to have, you know, some of these, use some of those draft picks to like, you can't draft 12 guys a year is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you have to like trade some of those picks and just go get better talent and have less players. So anyway, thought it was a really, really good first round. But let's hop now into the second segment. We're just going to talk about each individual pick. Cause I think, you know, it was really exciting to get Sauce. So we'll start with him. Round one, pick four. You know, his traits are, like you said, Tom, like, you know, they're very rare. This tall, strong corner, with like 4.4 speed. And he had, I believe he gave up zero touchdowns his entire college career. Mm-hmm. Pretty rare to do that. And personally, I'm just excited to watch him, you know, get in work against Garrett Wilson in camp.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited with that. The reason I would probably, if I had to give it a letter grade, I know that's very popular nowadays to give letter grades immediately after a draft before they play a game, but I would probably give it an A-, B+, just based on talent. Just like I said before, I would have preferred if they went edge. Obviously, it all worked out in the end, but his talent is just off the charts. Like, you hear those stories. I saw something on Twitter that Sauce Gardner is calling up Jalen Ramsey before the Super Bowl and giving him tips. And he's watching film on Bengal receivers. Like, you just love hearing that out of prospects who just live and breathe football. So the more that you just learn about Sauce Gardner, kind of just the more you fall in love with him.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't just rely on talent alone. Like you're saying, he studies, he uses great technique. He's not just someone who's relying on that talent. So, you know, when you have a player that has all the traits plus the willingness to work and learn, you know, obviously very exciting, and that's a player you're excited to take that high in the draft. But I agree, it's like A+ talent. Maybe at the moment it was like a B+ need,
right?
But ended up working out. Ryan, what did you think about Sauce?
I loved Sauce. I thought he was the best corner in the draft. And the thing that I love about it is, like, again, like, once he did his interviews, his stock went up crazy because they said of how much of a great teammate he seemed to be, and how much of a great football, mind he was. And just everything about the interview shot him up the boards, which he seems like a great fit for Salah's defense. And, it's hard to argue with that. I had a couple people tell me Stingley and Elam were better than him, which is hard. I mean, I guess Stingley I could see be better. I don't know how you can, who knows, but I wouldn't say Elam is better than Sauce just because he played in a weaker conference. I think people are a little upset about that. But at the end of the day, you don't give up a touchdown in 3 years. Super competitive, got every intangible you want and every measurable you want. So I think, he's going to be set up nicely in the defense that we run, especially with the other pieces coming next to him. So I thought it was good. I thought it was something that we haven't had in a long time. And we were so spoiled with Revis for so many years. And now, we've had a drought of good corners since him, honestly. I thought it was good. I think hopefully this guy can become, not that he is Revis, but that he can become a staple corner for us for a decade or so.
Yeah. And also we had the Revis Cromartie years, right? And now we're going to have the Sauce and DJ Reed combo there. So I'm very happy. And then people are
and my boy Bryce Hall. Don't worry about him.
Well, Bryce Hall, that's the thing, is people are like,
he's gonna be fine.
I saw some fans that were like, well, does that mean we're gonna bench Bryce Hall? And I'm like, that's best case scenario. You're benching a good player because you have better players. So that somebody gets hurt, somebody goes down every single year. So we need to have guys that come off the bench that have starting experience.
And to add to that, I feel like Robert Saleh's system and defensive philosophy is that they're not just going to leave the same 11 guys on the field the entire game. Like, they're going to be subbing people in and out. Like, they're not – like, they have this planned out. Bryce Hall isn't going to play zero snaps this year.
I agree. Him and Echols love the depth there, and love how we'll probably use them.
And Michael Carter, too.
Yeah, and Michael Carter. Well, he's more of a slot guy, though.
Yeah, he's more of a slot guy.
He'll probably actually get reps with the starters most of the time. But then, bringing in a guy like Sauce is just, it's exciting. It's exciting to go, okay, we can put that guy on an island with a lot of receivers in this league. And our second guy is in DJ Reed is also very good. So Sauce, I think he had 16 defended passes and 9 interceptions in his 3 years. So we need somebody that goes and gets the ball. I mean, no disrespect to some of our guys, but we just don't pick the ball off a lot.
Yeah, we gotta turn it over.
Yeah, I think it's time. We, picks come a lot from pressure too. So I think that's something we're gonna have more of this year. But then to have a guy that actually knows how to go up and get it and can play against bigger bodied receivers. So mm-hmm. I think that's what I like about Sauce. He's a bigger corner, but also has that burner speed. So I'm very excited about him. Any other thoughts on Sauce? I mean, for me, it's he better have a jersey that just says Sauce on the back.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, I'm more excited that his name is Sauce. Like, how is that guy not going to be a star in the NFL? His name is literally Sauce.
Yeah.
He's got star written all over.
He carries around Sauce in his chain, which is very interesting. Excited for a little bit more a personality on this team. Maybe what Jamal Adams always should have been. Somebody who has a personality but is not toxic. So we hope that that's the case.
We don't speak of him.
I actually found the other day was, as I was cleaning out some boxes in my house, was a Jamal Adams card, like a card of him, like a baseball card, but I guess you call it a football card. I don't know if I collect a lot of cards anymore, but for some reason I had a Jamal Adams card.
And it's worth nothing.
No, it was worth a lot. It got us a few very good players. AVT and Garrett Wilson. So he, for all Jamal Adams' faults, we turned him into some pretty good players. All right, let's move on to pick 10. So Garrett Wilson was the pick, obviously. He was my wide receiver 1 going into this draft. I know you said you like Jameson Williams, Tom. I did too. He was right there with him. I would have been happy, I think, with either of those guys. Drake London had been picked at that point. I think a lot of us didn't want him. I liked his skill set, but I felt like the fit wasn't really right. So I feel like Wilson is he's got the speed, the burner speed, but also has some really crisp route running ability. Those are some of his strengths. Some people say he's not great against press coverage. He probably needs to get a little bit stronger, but also super high character guy, very, very, very much a film guy who spends the time. So what were your thoughts on the Wilson pick? I guess things you liked, things maybe you would have preferred that spot.
Yeah, I mean, it was either Sauce or – oh, first of all, at 10, I was like, are we going to pick Jermaine Johnson now? I thought there was a chance we were going to get Jermaine Johnson at 10. But I knew that we needed a wide receiver. I wanted a wide receiver. So I was a little bit conflicted because I know we needed a DN and a wide receiver there. But for me, it was either Jameson Williams, Garrett Wilson, or Jermaine Johnson. And we got Garrett Wilson. So all good on my front. I really like the pick. I think he's going to be really good. It's very clear now what kind of skill sets that Mike LaFleur values in a wide receiver. I'm really excited to see how they use them. But, yeah, I was excited with the pick. I did like Jameson Williams a little bit more. I didn't really necessarily agree with people. Like, I feel like he was too good to put too much stock into him, missing 6 games. So, I don't know. We'll see how that works out. But Garrett Wilson, there's nothing really to complain about with Garrett Wilson. I'm excited with him.
Rye, what'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, James Williams has been that guy for a long time.
Before the injury. But, like, I don't know. I kind of got on the Garrett Wilson train. I just love his catch radius and like his intangibles and like it just, you know, whether it was him or Jameson, I was going to be happy. I joked that pick 10, we were on the clock and I was like, so Debo, like we're going to make this move the 11th hour, obviously not realistic. But I was just glad that we went and got a playmaker. We, like you said earlier in this podcast, like, people get upset trading late round picks. Like, we're at the point of our rebuild where we need top tier talent. Like, you got to spend those picks in the early rounds to get some, and then make a move for a receiver after the draft. But I love it. I think the guys can grow together. They're on the same trajectory, you know, contract wise.
Wilson, hey, Garrett Wilson, $25 million.
Exactly. I mean, we might have to one day, but you know, right now we don't have to do that right now. And I love the idea of him and Elijah Moore, you know, being that 1-2 punch with Corey Davis. And I said earlier this year that if we can make Corey Davis our wide receiver 3, I think we hit a home run in the draft and free agency, and that's exactly what they did. I think Joe Douglas has done an incredible job. I mean, I don't know how you think this guy doesn't know what he's doing at this point. We've had doubts. We keep saying that. But, I mean, I think after this draft, like, this dude just gets it. So I was pretty pumped with the Garrett Wilson, and then obviously later on moving up and getting Jermaine.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the just with Joe Douglas in general, we'll talk more about Douglas later. There was a bad draft and there was a good draft, and so it was like this was the one where we're like, is he just hit or miss? And I think he hit a lot. So, you know, I think we'll be very happy with the results of this one. You know, I'm really excited for this wide receiver unit now with Wilson. This is the most competent wide receiver room we've had in a long time. I mean, you know, we had 1 year of Marshall Decker, but like in terms of guys that will be together for a lot of years, hopefully.
I don't know if we've ever had that.
This is unreal. I mean, having Wilson with Moore, with Davis, with Berrios, it's a really talented room. And, you know, now we have these guys, they're super, super young and they're going to end up. And Mims, baby. Mims, who knows? Who knows?
My boy, he's coming. He's coming this year, baby.
I love when I get a text from Ryan, like he's like, Mims is practicing super well. And I'm like, like, does that mean anything?
Don't sleep on 11.
People are like doing his body fat percentage and like freaking out, and they're like, this guy, he's the next Calvin Johnson. Look at his abs.
He's too talented to be bad. Just watch.
Yeah, if you think Denzel Mims doesn't hear the noise about him being a bust, he does. So, I think he's going to at least just make sure that people know he's given everything he's got here.
It's one thing if it doesn't work out, because now that we have talent, like, at the wide receiver position, because we kind of threw him in there with Sam Darnold and a terrible offensive line and expected him. We were like, oh, we got Denzel Mims. We're good. So it was kind of unfair of us to just think that.
To be fair, Tom, we're not used to having more than maybe one good wide receiver at a time.
Exactly. Like, we were kind of a little bit unfair to him. So maybe he can get some time, like, this year, maybe in the red zone, he's a bigger body. Maybe he can get some red zone touches and get in the end zone. Like, I don't, we'll see.
I'd like to see how LaFleur uses him situationally.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, he's not going to be the every down wide receiver on in this offense. You know, that's why you have a Wilson and a Moore and these guys. But Mims could carve out a role for himself as a red zone threat.
Yeah.
You know, so I would, I mean, if he turns into anything.
He's going to. Really
and Ryan thinks he will. So, Tom, you had asked me to put up a poll on Twitter this week. Who's going to have a better 2022 season, Elijah Moore or Garrett Wilson? So I did put that poll up. That poll received a pretty heavy favoring of Elijah Moore. What are your thoughts on that one?
I just think that it's nothing against Garrett Wilson. It's just that Elijah Moore has a year in the offense. I think people sleep on the fact that he kind of broke out during a five-game stretch at the end of the year to where he was really good. I had him in fantasy, and I was starting him. Like, he was getting, like, 20 points a game for, like, 5 weeks.
Very rare for a Jets player.
Yeah. It was, like, I think just he's got experience on his side. And if there was a redraft, like, after seeing him this year, he could have gone. He would have been a first-round wide receiver, no doubt about it. So I'm really, really high on Elijah Moore. It's nothing against Garrett Wilson. I think with a year under his belt and his second year, he's going to have a great year. He could have a great year this year. Who knows? But I just – Elijah Moore to me is like a breakout candidate. I think he can get 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Agreed. No, I think
– I love Elijah.
Yeah, Ryan, what are your thoughts on that before I hop in?
No, he might be my favorite Jet. Like, I love his game. I love his love for football. Everything about him, I love him. I think he was a home run pick. He's been a true pro as obviously a young kid, and he's just terrific. I think his talent, I think people are starting to realize, like, this, he's that dude. Like, he could be a wide receiver. Yeah, you're going to call me crazy. He could be a wide receiver one. Like, he's like that. So if we have him and Will, I mean, I think both of them are going to do some damage. Like, I could 100% see Garrett Wilson coming in and absolutely tearing it up because he's obviously a better prospect out of college because he got drafted a lot higher. But I don't even think it matters, to be honest. I think they're both going to do very well. And then you bring in a guy who is technically a better prospect for most people. So I think either one of them, I do think Elijah Moore will have a better year. Like Tom said, he's going to be a little bit older. He's going to have that year of experience, but I would not be shocked if Garrett Wilson absolutely tears it up.
Totally. I think for me, I harped on it last year when somebody asked me, whenever someone asked me, what jersey should I buy for the New York Jets? I always said Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore is the safest jersey you could buy. He is a high character guy, a productive player. As long as he continues, to stay healthy, I think he'll end up being potentially the best out of all of our offensive talent. But, that's a big if. He was hurt for a while last year, and I hope that he could stay healthy and continue to show that he was worth the pick and probably was worth even a higher pick if we had if someone had taken him in the first round, it would have been totally justified.
Perspective, when there were rumors before the draft that we were going to include Elijah Moore in a package for Debo, and Jets fans were losing their minds.
Yeah, there was no way that was.
There was no way. Like he's that good. Like he's that good to where, like we have him on a cheap deal right now, and I think he could break out. There's no reason to trade him if he's going to be productive and give another wide receiver $25 million. Like there's just no reason for that.
No, I totally agree. Giving up someone like Moore would have made zero sense. We have to build more talent in the room, not reduce our talent. Even to go get a guy like Debo, then you give up Wilson. So you lose Moore and Wilson. I'd rather have Moore and Wilson than Debo.
Yeah.
I think they're two young, very talented players. Nothing against Debo, but you don't have to pay these guys as much. So I think it's a great scenario that we landed in. The craziest thing to me is like in any year in the past decade, we, or at least the past 5 years, we could have said you know, Wilson, Moore, and Corey Davis all would be a wide receiver one, in our opinion, on our team. So, you know, I think what's going to be great about that is it takes the pressure off each of them. They don't have to be a wide receiver one. They could work together to take away the defense by taking pressure off of each other. So, you know, you put your CB1 on Elijah Moore or Garrett Wilson. Now those other two guys have to face lesser talented corners. So it's very exciting to have a few guys that can really be serious threats. So I'm excited to see them all run together. But then, like we talked about earlier, we traded back into round one. You guys had left the stadium, rightfully so. I think it was, you know, we weren't really sure what we were going to do at that point. I kept watching, and I'm sitting there talking to my dad. I'm like, oh my gosh, we traded back in. We're back on. So pick 26.
We're on the clock. That's what
we are on the clock, baby. as Joe Douglas would say, apparently, when Jermaine Johnson started sliding, once he hit 15, the rumor is that, or I believe it was reported that Joe Douglas basically called every single team at that point, up until pick 26, to try to get back in the first round and take Jermaine Johnson. So that just shows you how much they valued him as a player. And he, every time you hear that guy speak, you're glad he's a Jet.
Yeah.
He had, you know, he was at Georgia. He ended up going to Florida State. He had 11 and a half sacks in 2021. And when there was talk of like Karlaftis and this and that in the early offseason, I'm like, this guy had like four sacks in college. You know, I need a guy that's at least shown he can get to the quarterback.
I also think that Joe Douglas and company have done a good job at putting talent behind these rookies so it's not all on them, kind of like what I was saying about Denzel Mims. It's like, we went out and got a DJ Reed. So it's like, Sauce Gardner doesn't have to come in and be the only cornerback on the roster. You could do anything. Bryce Hall is a nice player, but DJ Reed is even, I'd think that he's better than Bryce Hall. And then the same thing with Garrett Wilson. Like, we have Elijah Moore and Corey Davis there. It's not like we need him to come in and be a savior. And now we have Carl Lawson coming back. We don't need Jermaine Johnson to come in and be a world burner. So they've done a lot. They've done a really good job at giving the Jets some depth to where we don't need to rely on these rookies as we so often have to be franchise saviors. Like, there's not that much pressure on these guys. They just need to come in, be themselves, and just play football.
It's a great point. Great point. A lot less pressure on the young guys. Ryan, what were your thoughts when we traded back in to get Jermaine?
Pumped. Again, I was like, I knew, I had a feeling they'd go back up. You knew it was going to be Jermaine once they went up. And it was just a dream scenario. And I was listening on the radio, and I just heard it, and I was like, this is it. They announced a pick. I was just like, wow, what a great night. Everything worked out as we wanted it to. And, I mean, I think we got some pretty premier talent. You know, a lot of people on the sports radio saying how we hit a home run in the draft. So, couldn't agree more. Kid is going to be, hopefully, you know, a great edge opposite of Carl Lawson. And then obviously with Quinnen and JFM, we feel like we have a complete defensive line.
I think ultimately it was a great pick to come up and get him once he dropped. He's very similar in size and speed to Kayvon. So I think there wasn't a huge drop off in like athleticism and size. And so I was, you know, very happy to see he was falling, and you know, I don't think he fell for good reasons. I mean, I think Jermaine Johnson, maybe his pressure rate isn't quite as good as Kayvon, but his production was still excellent in terms of racking up the stats that mattered. So I you know, I love him as a prospect. To get him that late was just the best part. He had 17 and a half tackles for loss last year. So very exciting. And then obviously high character, love that we were aggressive, went and got him. It really made the first round feel like a dream. Like I went to bed that night, woke up the next morning. I'm like, I can't believe that really happened. We got those three guys, who are all on Joe Douglas's list as top 10 players in the draft. So it really, really did not feel real. So let's move on. First round obviously was awesome. Really exciting. I think also one thing before we move on from Jermaine Johnson, that dude can wear a suit, man. That guy,
oh yeah,
he has some insane wardrobe. I mean, really cool. I don't know. Is that the draft weird to say? Drafts matter,
and I always look back to when the Knicks draft Kevin Knox, and he opens his suit, and it was a Fortnite suit, and I was like, well, this guy's going to be a bust.
You can tell a lot by a guy's fit, and I think all three of our first-rounders photographed very well in their suits after.
Oh, yeah.
Handsome, so we're excited about that. You got to look good in New York, man.
100%.
Yeah. So moving on to round two, I think going into round two, a lot of us like N'Kobe Dean. There was, everyone just wanted to get a speed linebacker who could cover. I really like Dean. He ended up dropping, obviously, due to some issues with, was it his shoulder?
His shoulder, yeah.
Needs to get surgery there. And definitely, obviously, scared teams away because he was a first-round talent that dropped, to the third or fourth round. So we end up trading up a couple picks, like we said earlier in the show. You stockpile these picks so that you can go get the guys you want. And I am thrilled with the decision we made to move up a couple spots. Can't remember who we jumped over, but I was reading that they were targeting Breece Hall, and that's why we did it.
Breece Hall. I've been pretty tame in my
I'll let you take the floor then if you want to talk about Breece.
I've been pretty tame so far talking about our draft picks. Don't get me wrong, these are all great players. I loved our first round. Probably an A first round. It's hard to do better than what we did. I know when I was watching the draft and they were at 26, we knew it was gonna be Jermaine Johnson. And Mel Kiper was saying, oh, maybe they should go up and take Breece Hall. And at the time I was like, not a very Joe Douglas thing to do. Trade him to the first round, but I loved Breece Hall. When we took him in the second round, it was the happiest I was out of any of the picks so far, because the 1-2 punch in our backfield right now is has the potential, honestly, and this is going to be a top 10 running back group in the league. Breece Hall is so good. He had a 99 draft grade rating with Najee Harris, Saquon Barkley. This guy is legit. He's got shades of Le'Veon Bell in his game when you watch his tape. He's huge. I love Breece Hall. I think he could easily have the best production out of any of our rookies this year. And that's my hot take of all the rookie of all of our picks thus far. I just am very, very high on Breece Hall.
Tom, I completely agree with you. I think at the moment,
rookie of the year. It's good. I think I might sprinkle a little bit of money on Breece Hall to win rookie of the year.
Breece Hall is and it's even better. But you'll understand what I'm saying in a second. But the Elijah Moore for us of this year.
He's
the guy that we were people liked him, but once you draft him and you realize what you just got on your team, you just start to be like, how did this guy even drop to this position in the draft? So I think he's a multi thousand yard back in college. He had 1,500 rushing yards 2 years ago and 1,400 last year. He averages almost 5.8 yards per carry. He had over 20 touchdowns in each of the last two seasons. I think he had some crazy streak where he had over 20 games in a row with a touchdown.
He is really ridiculous, and you can't even make the excuse anymore with the Jets about their offensive line. Because they have a good offensive line now. It's they have a good offensive line and two good running backs. They rushed the ball pretty well last year, and we only got better. We got a Pro Bowl. I think Laken Tomlinson is going to be at right guard.
They're moving him over to left, and they're going to have – my understanding is it's going to be basically Fant and Tomlinson on the left, Becton and AVT on the right.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Left or run right, man.
Yeah. We have a really good offensive line now. There's no excuse for us to not have a 1,000-yard rusher this year. There's absolutely no excuse. And we know that they love to rush the ball. We watched Ty Johnson last year, get some big carries. Breece Hall's way better than Ty Johnson.
Yeah. I think we're seeing the Jets front office commit to, being a run first offense that then takes the pressure off Zach. It's exciting to get back to that ground and pound with hopefully a strong defense now with some of these players.
I don't think that people realize. I mean, they probably do if you're a Jet fan. But we're a rush first team. We like to rush the ball. Last year we had to watch Frank Gore get 2 yards a carry on 3rd and 10 for an entire year. This year is going to be way different. We saw success in the run game, and we're a rush first offense completely. Can you hear that ding in the background?
Yeah, it's dinging like a doorbell over here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, is that just the volume on your phone, I think? Probably, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, we're a rush-first offense, and I'm really excited for the run game. I expect Breece Hall to get 1,000 yards, and that's not an understatement.
I think it's fully reasonable to expect him to be a 1,000-yard back, even his rookie year. He is my favorite for rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. I think he'll be one of those players where you go, wow, like he looks a lot like Jonathan Taylor, the way he runs the ball, and he just finds right. He finds ways to get positive yardage. He's very athletic. He's very fast. He's just an all around three down back, which I love. Michael Carter, don't get me wrong, he was an awesome surprise last year.
Part of the offense. He could catch the ball, and they're going to split carries. Like I honestly expect it to be sort of a 60-40 split between Breece Hall and Michael Carter. And I think Breece Hall being the 60% and Michael Carter being the 40. The good thing with Breece Hall is he can catch the ball, but Michael Carter is also too good, and it showed us too much for them to just.
Well, can go with some of these two back sets. Yeah, I think exactly. That's where, you know, and both of them have the ability to block, to catch the ball. To run between the tackles. It feels weird to have two great running backs, to have three good wide receivers, to have a good offensive line, a CB1, two good edge rushers. I mean, what is this team? I mean, I think people are going to be a little bit shocked at the Jets this year. And I say that every year. But I think I actually believe myself this year. There's going to be growing pains, of course.
We're the boy who cried wolf. Kind of. It's like this year, every year, like this is, we're going to be better this year, but this year feels different. It really does.
It really does. And I've actually, over the last few years, I've become, I think, more realistic and less of a hopeful fan who's constantly predicting playoffs or constantly predicting winning records. I've been a little bit more realistic about my expectations. And I think a lot of fans don't like that. They don't like to feel like we're going to have a down season. They don't want to hear that we're not ready yet to beat, you know, a team like the Bills or to win the division or things like that. They want to hear, oh, we're the best in the division. They downplay other teams that maybe are actually better. And so I think going into the draft, I had said the Bills are the best team in the division. And I honestly believe the Dolphins are better than us. And that was going into the draft. Coming out of the draft, I think it's a lot closer. I think it's a lot between, and we'll talk more about our rankings of the AFC East later, but I really do think we're closing that gap, and that's exciting for me. And I really feel like that's legit. We have playmakers now. Yeah. We just haven't had playmakers.
I don't know what you have next in the docket, but I think that's a perfect segue into this year just sort of completely – I mean, not completely. I don't want to just all put it on Zach Wilson, but if he breaks out, there's no reason for us to be worse than the Dolphins. Like, we kind of already know what Tua is. I might get some flack from Dolphin fans for that, but like, we kind of know what Tua is. He doesn't have a great arm, you know, like he kind of turns the ball over. Zach Wilson had a little turnover problem in the beginning of the year, but at the end of the year, his last six games, six touchdowns, one interception, really protected the ball well. And he was going out there. We had an injured wide receiver core, and now we've just upgraded so much to the point where if Zach Wilson breaks out, and it's kind of a loose term when people say, oh, he might break out, I think people automatically think of like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but he doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Oh my God, that's so annoying. I don't know how to stop that. But he doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. He needs to come in and throw like 22 to 25 touchdowns with a few rushing touchdowns and throw like 10 picks. That's my version of him breaking out.
I agree. I mean, we can talk more about Wilson. I think he, you know, this is the time where we go, okay, we can truly evaluate him. I feel like we have no more excuses on the roster. And I've said that on Twitter. You know, I feel like you're going to know if Zach Wilson is good or not by the end of this year. Obviously unless he gets hurt, which we hope he doesn't. But I think he's got the pieces around him now, so you can actually evaluate him effectively. I think breaking out for him is a consistent season, you know, playing well throughout the season, not like a superstar, but he can't have these games where he throws five picks and just and like throws for 70 yards. You know, it's there's got to be games. You know, he's got to at least go out there and show that he can recover from mistakes. Yeah, yeah. So I think like your example is good of like, you know, between 20 and 25 touchdowns, keep the picks low. He had a really bad statistical rookie year, and people need to acknowledge that. So he needs to basically just have an average year, and yeah. I think the team can win football games. So you know, I'd love to see him turn into a star. Don't get me wrong, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but I think we just need to see him play like a middle of the pack quarterback.
Are we playing with fire? Not even mentioning the Patriots in the division right now, and they just kick our ass.
Honestly, like yeah, we are 0-12 in our division the last 2 years, which is just atrocious. And we have to acknowledge that we can't. I see a lot of takes times where it's like, oh, like the Patriots were splitting, the Dolphins are splitting. I'm like, we haven't split in 2 years. Yeah. You know, we need to first win one of these games before we can just pretend these other teams don't exist. So I think we have the roster now to do that. But until we do it, we need to stop acting like these teams don't beat us every year. You know, yeah. And so I think, you know, I'm optimistic. But let's not pretend the Jets are this team everyone's afraid of.
We need to go. We need to find a way to go 3-3 against the division next year.
Yeah, I think if we split with everybody, that'd be awesome. You know, even if we just split with the Pats and Dolphins and play the Bills tough in both games, I think that would be a win as well. You know, I think we're okay. Let's finish the picks and we'll get into the predictions.
Okay,
so
okay.
I can just go through them real quick because now we've moved past the four premium picks. We'll call them. You know, we got Sauce, we got Wilson, we got Jermaine Johnson, we got Breece Hall. I think we're all extremely excited to see those guys be super impactful this year. Then we move into round three, we get Jeremy Ruckert, local Long Island guy.
Mm-hmm.
His dad's reaction, I think everybody saw online. Some people have changed their profile pictures to his dad. He's yelling so hard and he's so pumped up, because they're Jets fans. They grew up Jets fans. And he gets to play for his team that he probably made himself in Madden on that team, you know, as he was a kid growing up. And now he gets to actually play for them. His pro comp is Dalton Schultz. So for those of us who wanted Dalton Schultz in the offseason,
we got him.
We might have him for a lot less money and a lot younger. So I'll take it. And then we have pairing him with Uzoma and Conklin. I think it's the best tight end room we probably have ever had. You know, you can't even point to it, in my opinion, a year where we had a better tight end room. It's not Gronk, it's not Kelsey, but it's guys that can really produce at the receiving, you know, position as a tight end block. So it's that big win. I think Ruckert will be tight end three, and that's a good tight end three. And then, you know, hopefully he works his way into the starting role over the years. But then we take Max Mitchell in round four, who I did not know who he was. He's a first-team all-conference player, a three-year starter, and allowed only 13 pressures over almost 900 snaps. So that's pretty awesome. He was the highest-graded tackle in the nation, according to PFF.
Wow.
And I have my thoughts on PFF, but I think in this case, you know, fourth-round pick, I'm happy.
When PFF says good things about the Jets, we like them. But yeah. When they
PFF needs to get in a room together and decide what they think about things before they put them out there, because you have draft grades that they give us that are excellent, and then you have guys sounding off online that sound like they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they disagree with their own company. So I'm like, you know, I don't know what's going on at PFF, but anyway, I was happy to see he was the highest graded tackle in the nation. In round four,
it seems like it was a very on brand Joe Douglas pick. High totally. IQ guy, works hard. He was at the Senior Bowl. Like, we heard so much noise about the Senior Bowl. To get two guys that were at the Senior Bowl didn't surprise me at all. Right. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know a lot about the guy, but it's good to add depth to the line, to an already good line, and hopefully that pick works out.
Totally. He's a depth piece. Hopefully eventually can become a starter. And then round four, we go for a high upside, somewhat high risk pick.
Yeah.
Michael Clemens, who has been in some trouble with the law. You know, as recently as last year.
The charge? I heard that the charge was that it was an invalid license. And if that's true, he's getting a really bad rap right now.
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like nobody even looked into that. Everyone was just like, oh, yeah.
He's well, got people get labeled a certain way, and I think that's unfortunate. You know, if I'm trying to look it up now, but
yeah, I'm looking it up as well.
It's
unlawful carrying of a weapon, failure to identify giving false information, less than 2 ounces of marijuana, and an invalid license.
That's so not that bad, right? Not that bad.
Worse is the unlawful carrying of a weapon, but yeah, I mean Quentin Williams just said that 2 years ago.
He might be a weapon himself. I mean,
yeah.
But
yeah, that's really not.
We don't know what the weapon was, according to this report. But anyway, I think obviously it's a slightly out of character pick for Douglas Salah. You know, I think typically they go for the guys that have pretty clean backgrounds in terms of staying out of trouble and, you know, having good leadership skills. But I'm not saying Clemens doesn't. I think people were kind of like, hey, take a shot at this guy. You know, you're picking like late in round four. He had 7 sacks last year. I mean, 11 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
He's somebody that could end up being a very good rotational edge rusher for this team.
I can understand people who have a little bit of a problem with the pick. Not even like the red flag. I don't care about the red flags. I'm honestly not worried about those. It's just that at that point, we had already taken an edge rusher. Would have been okay with taking another safety or a linebacker for depth. But I guess they just like how the board broke for them. And I trust Joe Douglas's judgment with a guy like this. He's not, like you said, he doesn't usually take like the red flag guy. I know like Mike Maccagnan and Idzik were all over those guys. So they're like, oh, let's just give Jokai Polite a try. Maybe he'll be good. But, you know, I trust Joe Douglas's judgment. Probably would have liked to see a safety or a linebacker off the board there, but hard to complain with after the draft we had to really complain about any pick.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the, like you said, the going for that position was kind of like, okay, well, I guess we're just trying to build that edge depth. But regarding the character stuff, I was just reading, he says he's extremely grateful to be drafted by the Jets. When asked about some of those concerns off the field, he said, it's just a one-time incident. Look at the rest of my life. And I, you know, it's
fair point.
And I think that's very fair. I think he hasn't had that kind of trouble throughout his life. There's one thing that happens and you get labeled. You know what? They did their due diligence on him. They feel good about him. And I think going into a room with a guy like Salah and some of those guys like Carl Lawson and Jermaine Johnson, who are, you know, just good leaders, I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to help Clemens to just become a great guy, you know, great guy for in terms of potential and what he can do to help this team win football games.
100%.
You know, I think it's gonna be one of those picks that you look back and go, wow, I can't believe he went in the fourth. You know, he's producing. So I like the pick. I think take a swing like that. And then lastly, I just want to mention that PFF take before we go on to predictions for the year. So what we're talking about earlier, a lot of people know there's a video going around on Twitter of what's his name? PFF_George. To be honest, I don't want to give him too much airtime just because he doesn't deserve it. But that guy, he had one of the most ignorant responses to the Jets draft, basically saying like, yeah, they got good players, but anyone could draft good players in the first round. And that's, you know, that's kind of actually not true. I mean, you look at the Raiders, they went and took some horrible first round picks in the past couple of years that are not even on their roster anymore. They're not, you know, they're not taking their fifth year options, things like that. So there's definitely no guarantees in the first round. And then his big issue with the Jets draft was that they took a running back in round two, when in his opinion, the rest of the roster was complete trash, which again shows he's just not paying attention to the offseason and to some of the improvements they've had. Yes, they struggled, but they're showing progress. They've added lots of talent. For him to just basically say the draft is a wash because you took the best running back in the draft, makes zero sense. Some of the things he said for us to do instead of that, take a quarterback in round two, he was like, take another wide receiver. I'm like, what are you on? You know, like, we just took a wide receiver in round one and round two the year before. We have Corey Davis on the route. I mean, what are we talking about here? The guy clearly is not paying attention.
I just feel like, one of my biggest pet peeves in sports is listening to people with these radio shows who pay no attention to the team that they're talking about and just spit absolute ignorance. That was such a like Jets for clicks take. Let's just shit on the Jets because I don't pay attention to them and people are going to watch this video and be outraged. So like you said, I don't even want to give them too much airtime. Like, we have improved so much. We have a chance. We honestly, our roster outside of the question mark right now with Zach Wilson, if he'll make that leap or not. But we've got a bunch of units that are like potential to be middle of the pack, like top 15. Our offensive line, top 10 potential. Really good offensive line. Our running back room now, top 10 potential, top 15 potential. Wide receiver, like top 15 potential. We have like our linebacker is a little bit shaky. We have CJ Mosley. We're not quite sure. The jury is still out on Quincy
Wilson, the game wrecker. Dude cuts people in half. But yeah, I don't know like, if he's a long term solution there.
We just upgraded our cornerback room so much, getting DJ Reed and a top 10 cornerback. We got Anton. Oh my God, it's escaping me again. What's his last name? Or the safety we just got? Whitehead.
Yeah,
Jordan Whitehead. I keep calling him Anton Winfield to people for some reason. I don't know why. This dude's on the Bucks. He's on the Bucks, right? Anton Winfield Jr.
I believe that's correct.
I believe he is. I keep mixing him up.
But yeah, but Jordan Whitehead and LaMarcus Joyner's coming back. So I think, you know, it's a unit that will look very different this year. It's I think people are underestimating the difference in the roster. There are a lot of players that either were hurt last year and did not play a lot of games, or were hurt the whole year. We signed them last offseason. They never played it down for us. And now we have also all these rookies coming in and guys like Lakin Tomlinson and things like that off free agency. So it's a very different team. I think
it's a completely different roster than we've had. Like, I sent you guys that picture in our Jets group chat from 2 years ago. Our roster is completely different. We have like out of 22 positions from 2 years ago, we have like 20 new guys.
No, I know. And I think that the biggest thing is patience. And I think that's something we all struggle with, to go through entire seasons knowing that the team's not ready to compete. But looking back, you go, look how different of a roster it is now. So I think we'll see sort of that leap going into this year. And like we said, Zach Wilson, this is why a lot of people are starting to nitpick Zach Wilson, because they're like, he had such a bad rookie year, yada, yada. Again, an ignorant take, because you're looking at statistics only. He had a very bad statistical rookie year. His first half of the year was very up and down, mostly down, but his second half was very up. So I think we need to remember that when we think about context. And then there's a lot of people throwing shade at him because they don't know what else to point to. You know, I think at this point, you know, if Zach Wilson is the reason we're going to sink or swim going forward, you know, he's got to be the one that goes out there and leads this team. The team is now set up to win football games. And I want to ask you this question: is the wild card realistic?
Don't get me started, James. Do not.
Oh, that's why we're here.
That's why we're here. No, I'm gonna put on my realistic Jets hat right now and say that the wild card is probably the ceiling if everything goes well. I think our floor is a lot higher than last year. I think our floor is probably about like it should be 5 or 6 wins should be our floor. Did you know our over under in Vegas right now is 5.5?
Yeah, that's I think a little too low.
It's a little bit disrespectful. I think like 5 is our floor.
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying since last year that this year they need to win 7 games. There is no other option. They need to put 7 wins on the board. And like Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh have been preaching now since they've got here, we have to be playing meaningful games in December. It's been too long. We just have to be playing meaningful games in December.
How about October? Let's make sure that we are still, we are not out of the race by the end of October.
I know. You know? We play 4 games. Literally after we lost to the Bills, I think it was 2 years ago now with Sam Darnold, I was like, wow, it's over. The season's over.
Yeah. It looked like 2 different sports. I actually agree with you. I think that's a very good assessment. I think wild card is our ceiling. If all goes according to plan, we should be playing in the wild card game for sure. Now that's a lot that has to go right. The players have to stay healthy. Some of these rookies have to play like they're not rookies. And it's a somewhat of a complicated offense, but once you get it, it really works well. So I hope these guys are very, heady guys, we'll call it, where they can learn these things very quickly, and get out there and just play very fluidly. So anyway, I think that's a good assessment. Now, if you had to rank the AFC East, we talked about that earlier, Bills are number one. Who's 2, 3, 4 right now?
This is really playing with fire here, because
come on, Tom, hear it.
Not every year, but the past couple of years since Tom Brady hasn't been there, I've been like, oh, the Patriots are not going to be good. Last year before the season, I was literally saying the exact same thing. Like, their skill positions are terrible, and then they make the playoffs. But I'm going back to what I know, and that's Jets football. And that's me being an optimistic Jets fan, and I think we could get the 2 spot. Hot take, I think we could get the 2 spot. I think we could go 9-8, and Dolphins are third, and the Patriots are last. Like, oh, but even just saying it out loud, just saying it out loud, it's like it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah,
we need to get out of that mindset, though. We
have to start thinking like we can do that.
We need to start uplifting ourselves. We need to go to Jets therapy.
Yeah. Bills fans are extremely cocky right now. I think we could be a little bit confident, you know? I think that that's a decent ranking. I think I go back and forth with the Jets and Dolphins. I think if Tua turns into anything, they have a better roster right now.
Yeah.
But I think Zach Wilson's ceiling is higher. Really it comes down to who's going to play better, Zach or Tua. I do think Mac Jones plays clean football, but he's never going to be good enough to beat a team like the Chiefs or the Bills at a level like in the playoffs. Those types of teams are more complete. The Patriots are not a very complete team right now. They don't have a ton of skill position talent. And Mac Jones is not going to be the guy that elevates the skill position talent. So, I think he to succeed, he needs a lot more around him. Now, I'm fully aware Zach Wilson had a very up and down rookie year. So I'm not going and saying Zach Wilson is 10 times better than Mac Jones. He needs to go out there and prove it. And I think some people are just like throwing Mac Jones to the wind. They're throwing Tua to the wind and ignoring that Zach Wilson had a very wishy-washy year. So I think we need to just be pump the brakes a little bit, all gas a little bit of brake.
I think we need to take a collective deep breath. Even the media, this is such a New York media thing where everyone is praising us right now. Right. And then if things go wrong, they're going to shit on Jets and the Jets fans for being excited before the year. And it's like, we were excited because you were excited. Right. The media is the one saying that
we're looking to them as, okay, like objectively, what do you guys think? because I think they're not always fans, right?
Yeah. It's great. It's such a few years ago, I always point to other sports for analogies, but when the Knicks everyone was saying all these, Rick Bucher came out and said, Kyrie and KD are going to the Knicks. And then the Knicks don't get KD and Kyrie and everyone starts shitting on Knicks fans. It's like, we have nothing to do with this. You all told us that we were getting KD and Kyrie. Like, don't put out your agenda and start, like, up-talking the Jets. And then if things go wrong, say that, oh, like, you were so wrong to think that the Jets were going to be
right.
This.
And it's like, it's all hindsight takes, right? It's like, oh, well, they stunk. So clearly those picks were stupid picks. It doesn't mean that the picks were actually bad in the moment. I think, anyone can make good analysis when they can look back. It doesn't mean that in the moment these are bad picks. These are well regarded picks. Everyone believes that they're good picks. So, it's just how the players turn out. You can't blame a GM for taking the guy that is ranked by every single person as the best at his position. So, it's just those guys have to perform. So now here's another scenario for you before we start to wrap it up. But if God forbid Zach does turn out to not be the guy, God forbid. Now, I think Zach has the potential. I do. Now, this isn't about Zach necessarily, but if Zach struggles this year again, the team goes, okay, we have they can improve the roster even more in the offseason. Do you give Douglas and Saleh a chance to run the organization with another QB, a rookie or a vet, to say they've done enough at other positions and in the leadership position at coach and in the drafting and the offseason acquisitions to deserve multiple tries at that quarterback position?
Okay, so that's a multi-part question to me, so I'm going to give you a multi-part answer.
Sure.
So do I think – the first part is, do I think that Zach Wilson is going to succeed next year? And I do. So let's just get that out of the way.
I didn't actually ask that, but I said I know he doesn't ask that,
but I just need to come out and say that I believe in Zach Wilson. I don't think that we're going to be picking another quarterback next year. But if, God forbid, like you said, he just shits the bed and plays terrible next year, there's only one right answer to this question, and I 100% give them another chance at quarterback to, you know, just to pick another quarterback. And I think the quarterback talent next year in the draft is so good to the point where it's like, why not just give them another chance? Like, Zach Wilson was a pretty highly regarded prospect, but C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, I might be wrong on this, but by this time next year, I think will be more highly rated as of a prospect than Zach Wilson was when he was drafted. Do you disagree with that?
No, I do actually agree. I think, in my opinion, Joe Douglas, after this draft and this offseason, has shown that he's competent. I think, again, and what we talked about, you don't always know what's going to happen until years later. So with someone like Zach, the potential was always there, but that doesn't mean the player will succeed. Quarterback's the hardest position to play in sports. So, you know, sometimes you get a guy with a ton of potential and he just doesn't work out for whatever reason. But Douglas has shown the ability to build the roster. And I think Saleh has shown the ability to be a great leader in the locker room and on the field. So I don't see them as the problem. That's why I'm posing the question. I agree with you. I think Zach will have a good year. So I'm not saying get rid of Zach, but I'm more just saying, like, in typical sports fashion, you throw away the GMs, you throw away the coaches, when really the problem sometimes is just with the players, or with a player. So I think, you know, that's a very important position. So I obviously hope Zach does great. I do think people need to be a little bit less coddling of him. It's he's just a kid, like he's like 12 years old. No, he's a professional quarterback. He's an adult. He's like 20, almost 23. I know that's young, but that's not a kid. We can criticize his game, but also I'm ready to get excited about his game. So I don't want to start the off season and season with that I think he's gonna fail. I just wanted to pose that question because I actually am very pleased with the front office and the coaching. So I'm more concerned of whether the pieces actually work together.
Yeah.
Especially the quarterback.
I'm just excited and a little bit nervous to see where we're going to be at this time next year. Like, what if we go 9-8 next year? Like, what?
Then we're talking about being the best team in the AFC East again.
Yeah. Then, yeah.
The Patriots left the door open. The Bills walked through it. And that doesn't mean that the Bills will be in it for 20 years.
And our criticism of Joe Douglas before this offseason was that he wasn't exactly aggressive enough, right? We were kind of like, he's very conservative with his money.
Right. Didn't spend.
Spend. But now I feel like he's shown a little bit to, like, he didn't give any crazy contracts this offseason. I mean, if you look back to our last podcast when I was on, going to give myself some props here and say that I kind of predicted it correctly to where, like, he didn't go insane just giving out crazy contracts. He did exactly what I thought Joe Douglas was going to do, give contracts to guys that they believe will get the job done, Joe Douglas character type guys. And then his whole philosophy is built through the draft. So I do think if we're in a position next offseason, if we go 9-8, maybe we miss a wild card by one game. Because there is a world, we have a very good division where the Dolphins could be better than us, but we could still finish 9-8 and miss a wild card by a game. You know what I mean? So
yeah, the AFC East is very good. I think
it's a good division.
It's a tough division. It's not the NFC East where you can win with a losing record.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I do think we could be in that position. I think it's hilarious. So this is, again, PFF just totally contradicting themselves, but they had the Jets picking third next year in the draft. So they're just, I said, if the Jets are picking third, Zach Wilson played football lefty all year.
And everyone got it.
Yeah, there's no way that's going to happen again. And I truly believe that. Last year I was kind of like, who knows, rookie quarterback, a lot, you know, still in a lot of uncertainty. This year I think we'll be in a much better position to win football games. And hey, you know, I do think we could be in a position where we're in the wild card or at least close to it. And that would be, that'd be great. Cause then we're going into next season going, okay, let's keep building on that. Let's go and let's win the division. Which is realistic. The Bills know that. I was talking to Bills fans. They're like, they were upset we got Breece Hall. They were actually impressed with our first round this year. They're telling me, you know, I really liked what the Jets did. And they're even telling me I want the Jets to be better because I want these games to be more exciting. And they also want to be able to just have actual good, like, trash talk between Jets and Bills.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, it sucks when everybody, we're not interested after October, right? It's like, we're like, this is, you know, it's no fun for anybody. I think it's more fun when there's actually some sort of, you know, healthy competition in the division.
I mean, yeah, the Bills' recent success, but for years, like when you have conversation with your friends about sports and like who do you hate the most, like the Patriots? I'm like, I don't even hate the Patriots. Just kick our ass twice a year. Like, mm-hmm. Why would I hate the Patriots? They destroy us twice a year. There's no chance that we're going to win.
Yeah, but it's got to be a rivalry that has competitive football.
Yeah. You know? And hopefully we're at a different point next year. And just to round out that point that I was making before, like, if we're in a position where we're 9-8, I think when I said that Joe Douglas might be an 8 or 9 out of 10 aggressiveness this offseason, for 9-8 next offseason, he might put his foot on the gas pedal.
Right. Because, I mean, he showed the willingness to go get a guy like Tyreek Hill this offseason.
Yeah.
Next offseason, there's no telling what he might do if we have a competitive year and go and say, let's go put together the pieces to go make a real run here.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
maybe we went into it, like, they're probably thinking if they go 9-8, or hell, if they go 10-7, they're like, we could win a division next year. Let's go get some real.
Even if we go like 8-9, like it's possible. You know, we're right in that 500 discussion. I think then it's like, okay, let's do what we have to do now this offseason to go over that hump and go and really be a very respectable team that has a shot every single year with this young roster. Okay. Well, last question for you, Tom, before we sign off. This was a fun one, but they just released some preliminary rookie jersey numbers, which I think are all changing because they're all terrible. But
yeah, I saw some of them.
Yeah, whose rookie jersey? I'll just keep it to that because we talked about Elijah Moore being a great jersey buy earlier this year. I don't really buy jerseys much anymore. I want to, though. Like, I want to feel like I want one again.
Yeah.
Who out of all these rookies is the one you feel, and I have a feeling I know, but who's the one that you would buy this year?
Well, I'm going to surprise you a little bit. I'm going to surprise you a little bit. And me just thinking, like, trying to put on, I don't know how to phrase this, but I would like to get Breece Hall's jersey. But just based on the fact of longevity, running back shelf lives are kind of a little bit shorter. Like, I do think that Sauce Gardner might be the safest. Because if he turns out to be good, like, he's on your team for, like, 8 years. Like, no doubt about it. Like, running back, like, we saw Melvin Gordon come in, tear the league up for 2 years, and then he's on another team.
Yeah.
Like, you really don't know with running
back. But you do go to a Giants game, and everyone's wearing a Barkley jersey.
I know, and now he's about to be gone.
Look at him, yeah.
He's about to be gone. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I think it's a little bit safer to go with Sauce Gardner, I think. I think it's your safest bet.
I like it. I like it. I kind of agree. I think – it's between Sauce and Breece, I think, if you're talking rookies. You know, I think Wilson will surprise a lot of people this year. I think people are underrating him a little bit.
That's good. I'm happy that people are underrating
him. Yeah, I want that. That's perfect. So, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting. So, you know, hey, man, thanks for hopping on again. I know we lost Ryan about halfway through. His connection dropped, and he was trying to do things mobily, and we're trying out a new platform here. So, hey, you know, I don't blame him, but appreciate you hopping on, Tom. You know, we'll do another one in a couple months, maybe less. It's exciting. We got rookie mini camp, I think, starts today. Lots to look forward to if you're a Jet fan. Go follow us on Jet Up Pod on Twitter. Go ahead to rosterupmedia.com if you want to read some more articles about the team, about fantasy football. We're there all the time. But Tom, any final thoughts before we sign off?
I do have a final thought, and my message to Jet fans right now is that it's okay to be excited. Don't listen to these outside people who are like, it's going to go wrong for the Jets, blah, blah, blah. It's okay to be excited. We have exciting players for the first time and since we had Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall, and we're a lot younger this time around. Like, we have guys on our team with potential to be around for a while, and I think that we're building something special. And go talk trash to other teams. It's okay. You're allowed to talk trash on Twitter about the Jets. We're on the come up.
I love it. You heard it here. It's okay to be excited, folks.
Okay to be excited.
It is. Go buy that jersey that you want in green and white or black and green or whatever you guys like. It is okay to be excited. The Jets finally have some talent. It is not a mirage. They actually may compete this year with some of these better teams. So it's exciting. We'll leave it at that. And thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate the listeners, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Jet Up. Remember to go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Twitter at Jet Up Pod. This episode was brought to you by Roster Up Media, where football meets data. Head to rosterupmedia.com for more great NFL content.